Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Tune in to Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and practitioner who's helped thousands transform their lives. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff will lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Welcome to the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host. You're listening to a live Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston, heard live every first Sunday at 7 p.m. You can also tune into my show on our station, Dream Vision 7 Radio, every week, Wednesday and Thursday, at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. To learn more and for a full station schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Thanks for tuning in to our October show. Our topic is Our Mothers, Ourselves. On today's show, we'll look at the power that our relationship to our mother has had on us, both as children and as adults, how it has shaped our, or helped at least to shape our ego identity, our feelings about ourselves, and even our sense of being in the world. And we'll look at both positive as well as negative aspects of our mother relationship, from effects that having the ideal mother could have on a person to the effects that having the abusive mother might have had. And we're also going to look at this from two different aspects. One is that you can evaluate your relationship to your mother and the effects it might have had on you as a child and, of course, ultimately as an adult. But it's also believed that within each of us, we carry a mother image or what could be called a mother archetype. So you would want to be thinking, what is my inner mother like? You see, your inner mother is generally a combination of mother connections that you've had in life. And whether your birth mother is alive or is passed on, or the mother who, of course, took care of you as a child if you had been adopted, if that person is alive or has passed on, you still have an inner mother who either does or does not nurture you well now. So we can begin to look at, you know, how we're treating ourselves as well. So as we get started, let's evaluate some childhood situations. Now, we know that our first primary relationship in life generally occurs with our mother, and this relationship has influenced the foundation, as I mentioned before, of our ego identity and even our sense of our security in the world, as well as our feelings about ourselves. And I don't intend, by the way, on our show today to create stereotypes about men and women and mothers at all, but I will share what I've understood as some basic differences and insights that certain types of mother situations might have on children and on adults. You see, my goal is simply to help whoever's listening to understand yourself and your relationship to your mother better and its effect on you. In some cases, the mother-child relationship insights are the same, whether the child is a daughter or a son. And I have to say that I know more about a woman's relationship to mother. And this is not only because I am a woman, but because I've taught workshops for women on that very topic, the mother relationship, mother-daughter relationship. So it's believed that as a girl, your relationship to your mother will impact your feelings, for example, about your body and also about other women. And you will get your first impression of how to be a woman, or we could say what being a woman means or what it looks like. And this, of course, is going to influence your experience of your own feminine self. But definitely stay tuned, because I'm also going to provide some insights into a son's relationship to mother as well. And much of the information really could apply to either gender. So let's look at some types of mothers and impact that all this might have. When I was putting ideas together, I thought we really should start with the ideal mother, not because we necessarily had the ideal mother, but it's a good. We're going to look at some extremes, and it's a good place to begin. So what if you have or had what appears to be the ideal mother? You know, what effect would that have? Well, many of us might have longed for what we thought would be the ideal mother. You know, maybe this would be someone who attends to all our needs or who provides a great deal of her life energy in caregiving us. And yet, believe it or not, having this ideal mother could create difficulties for a child and ultimately for the adult that the child becomes. And I'd like for us to look at why this might be. Well, one difficulty is that the child of the ideal mother can become fearful of leaving that mother to individuate or to become themselves, you know, himself or herself. And you see, it may make the child feel that they may not be able to function as well as the ideal mother can support them, especially if they were ever to be separated from her. Or it may make the child feel that they can't live up to the expectations and role modeling of this mother. Maybe that they cannot be perfect enough, for example, or as competent, you know, as she was. So that's one difficulty. A second difficulty would occur for the person who has a mother who seems ideal only in that she sacrifices everything for the child. Now, this can actually cause the child to feel guilty because, in some respects, you could say it's as though the mother has lost herself, or some people would even say eliminated herself for the child's sake. And this child may feel responsible for pleasing the mother or for what we might call meeting the mother's needs. You know, I have to remain your child in order to meet your needs as mother. Now, Dr. Carl Jung, whom I've certainly quoted before, a famous Swiss psychiatrist, has many amazing and insightful quotes attributed to him. But one in particular, which I've always thought was extremely powerful, does have to do with parenting. And I'm going to quote him here. He says, "Nothing has a stronger influence psychologically on their environment and especially on their children than the unlived life of a parent." And another way this has been quoted is, "Nothing is as detrimental to the child as the unlived or than the unlived life of the parent." Now, please understand, Jung is speaking of mother or father in saying this, but of course, for our purposes today, I'm going to use it to mean mother. So then a parent, or for our purposes again, a mother, who sacrifices her life or personal development for her child and doesn't fulfill her own life, what I'm understanding Jung would be saying is that psychologically this impacts the child more negatively. So again, that would be like a second difficulty. And a third difficulty associated with a sacrificing mother might also be that the child may feel that they have to perform at a certain level all the time to prove that they're worthy of the sacrifice. You know, again, to be perfect or ideal themselves in order to justify this mother's sacrifice. And this might lead to it being hard to accept your own or others' imperfections in life in general, which could in turn create a more judgmental attitude or just a kind of judgmental nature in a person. Or it could lead to a person feeling guilty if they proceed in life and don't feel they measure up to the standards that were set for how they should perform. So in other words, if you're the child of a sacrificing mother and you decide to do something other than what the mother would have wished for you or wanted you to have done, this may actually make you feel guilty or, you know, almost need to estrange yourself from the mother as a result. But let's do a gentle aside for a minute. What do most children want from a mother without necessarily realizing it? You know, it's been said that a child's greatest fear is abandonment, so certainly we want to be connected. But most of us long for a mother who can give us all that we need from her. And again, I'm speaking from a child's point of view, all that we need from her, and who will receive all that we want to give her. And for the most part, you know, we long to be able to love her and to see ourselves loved in her eyes. So really what we're saying is, a child longs to be known, to be seen in his or her deepest self, and liked for who you know, he or she is by this woman who is the mother, because this woman becomes the earthly origin and, of course, most often the primary caretaker. So what happens then if the relationship does fall short of these expectations, which so often it does since this woman is human? You know, what if we have a mother whom we don't feel has met our needs or could meet our needs? And what about the effects of that type of mothering? Well, it's almost impossible to let your mother and your expectations go completely, even when the relationship has been, or we could say continues to be fruitless, or when our differences are just too wide to be bridged. It's very hard to let the mother go in that relationship and those intense needs go. And as difficult as the relationship can be, if it does fall short, you know, having the neglectful, abusive, or just difficult mother, on the one hand, it can actually strengthen a person's own survival skills. And it can even cause you to develop tremendous listening skills and even create in you an ability to read people and to know what they want. So often, I have had clients who had poor mothering tell me just how incredibly intuitive they are, how they can read people. Because you see, if I'm neglected, I've got to learn to find my own way. Or if I'm abused, I often have to learn to become hypervigilant and to find a way to be safe, you know, again, no matter what. I can become very good then at sensing other people and what's going on in my environment, but unfortunately, what will happen is I'll probably always long for a good mother. Now, what else can negative mothering do? Well, what if your mother relied or still relies on you to mother her? Or let's say you have a mother who's narcissistic, especially when you were a child and you were, you know, constantly with her and needed you to hold her up, or as they would say, to pump her up, her own ego. Well, it can cause you to lose, of course, as a child and even as an adult, your sense of yourself, and to feel the need to focus on helping her, taking care of her, or just perhaps pleasing her, you know, being sure she's okay. And this can cause you to focus your life on pleasing not only your mother, but you become more focused on pleasing others in general. And from this mother relationship standpoint, you may, without necessarily realizing it, hold others responsible for your happiness. You know, if I please or don't please them, I can be happy only if they're happy. And you may decide somehow, again, if they're not happy, you cannot be happy. And as I sometimes have said to clients, it's as though your inner compass is no longer inside you, but it's outside of you. And you may seek approval constantly from other people, again, to know that you're enough or that you're okay, and so on. You see, negative mothers who ask us to constantly mirror them back to themselves can do so at the expense of allowing us to develop ourselves. And when we say, you know, your compass is not inside you in that way, we really mean that you probably focus less on your own needs, your own ideas or desires, than you actually do on pleasing your mother or just on pleasing others. So now, having said all this about these types of mothers, we know that no mother is all good or all bad. So again, back to, you know, I don't want to create stereotypes in this way, but certainly some parents some mothers do fit those extremes. And remember that each of us saw our mothers through the eyes of a child. So, you know, the good news is that changing our perceptions can change, to some extent, what we believed happened to us or continues to happen to us. So we need to examine what the child's view does or can do to us. You see, as a child, it could be our view that it was, and, you know, maybe still is, possible for all our legitimate needs to have been met by our mother if only she knew what we needed or if only she really loved us. And that's really the key from a child's point of view. Again, if only she knew what we needed or if only she really loved us, and the latter part being, you know, really important. You can fill in the blank here with any of the if onlys. But, you know, if only she would have done such and such, or if we had done such and such, she would have loved us in a certain way. So sometimes, unfortunately, these child assumptions might look like this. First child assumption would be that the mother is almighty or somehow all-powerful, or she could have been a certain way if she'd only wanted to be that way. So, you know, we might imbue her with some godlike qualities and have expectations that she could have done anything to meet our needs, again, if she had only wanted to. And what happens if we didn't have our needs met or things didn't turn out as we would have hoped for them to? Well, we may believe it's a choice that our mother made deliberately not to meet our needs, rather than a possible inability that she had to mother well. Do you see how important that is? And what if expectations we placed on our mothers didn't quite account for the fact that the mother had human issues that, you know, they might have prohibited her from mothering well? So let's say we had a certain desire or a need of our mother, and she didn't have the cultural conditioning to know how to mother us as we needed to be mothered. Or, you know, what if she were not mothered well herself? Or what if she didn't have the resources to actually mother us as we would have liked for her to have done? So you see, a child's assumption is that the mother has ultimate control over her life and the child's life, because, of course, we see as a child that the mother is an adult. And you see, if we continue to think she could have done things differently, or maybe she could have done them better, we may end up estranged not only from our mothers, but most important, in a certain way, estranged from our very selves. Since, again, what I mentioned earlier is that we each carry a mother image inside of us. So what do we need to consider in regard to a woman being an effective mother? You know, how do we need to heal the mother relationship? Well, the truth is that there are factors that affect a mother's life and ability to parent well. And we can ask ourselves certain questions about our own mother's lives that can help. And so I'm going to ask you just to listen closely, as I mentioned, a few reflective questions that you can ask yourself about your own mother. And the first one would be, what was her economic situation, both when she was growing up, you know, what was available to her or not available to her, and also during the time that she was your mother? That would be a first. So the economic situation, I would say, you know, really focus on that for, you know, not that it's most important, but just as one question. And a second question would be, what support did she have both growing up and as your mother, you know, during that time frame? So what support did she have? That would be a second area. Third would be, did she have personal needs that may have conflicted with her being able to be an effective mother for you? You know, what was going on? I mean, was she going through an illness? Was she going through some difficulty with her work? If she were working, was she going through some situation with your father? I mean, what were all these different things? This is important. And finally, what about her own experience in being mothered, as I mentioned earlier? So again, these are important questions. Now, I use these questions in workshops and in coaching, and I want to share a situation with you that a client of mine, whom I'm going to refer to as Debbie, once told me. She felt really angry toward her mother because she said when her parents divorced, they split custody of her, and she wasn't angry about that, but she said there were times when her mother didn't keep her commitment to see Debbie on designated dates when it was the mother's turn to have her. So basically, she grew up not only angry toward her mother, but Debbie said when her own first child was born, and it was after that that I met her, she realized she was even angrier with her mother than she had been before, thinking thoughts, you know, as she held her own child, like, how could you possibly have chosen not to see me or spend time with me or just, you know, be there for me, care for me? And she transferred her child's needs as her own, or it helped her to reflect on her own needs, feeling that her mother chose not to meet her needs purposely. So through our coaching, I had Debbie evaluate her feelings fully. Because you see, you don't want to overlook your own needs and bypass certain feelings that you had. Because if you get to forgiveness prematurely, then it really isn't going to work. So first she had to really focus on evaluating her own feelings fully. And Debbie and I spent time with her evaluating her feelings. And then we evaluated her mother, you know, the mother situation using the same questions that I gave you earlier. And then I asked Debbie if she were willing to talk with her mother about her feelings. Again, only if she were willing and felt it would help her. Now, in some cases, this might not have been possible, but for Debbie, it was. And Debbie was clear that her mother might not have been capable of really hearing her story, but she did feel she needed to take the risk. And I guess with the support of me as coach, she felt she could at least process what would happen. I was not with her when she spoke with her mother. Her mother lived out of town. But we talked about how she was going to handle that. And anyway, she was honest with her mother. She went to visit her mother. She told me she was honest with her mother, explaining to her mother how she felt as a child and what was going on with her now as a mother herself. And this was extremely helpful to Debbie because her mother shared with her that her own mother, which would have been Debbie's grandmother, had left Debbie's mother numerous times to be with another partner other than her father. And Debbie's grandmother had had a secret relationship with this other man. Now, the feelings of abandonment that Debbie's mother felt from this were terribly hurtful, she told her, but she hadn't let herself feel those feelings. It's like she tucked them away. And ironically, when Debbie was young and her parents divorced, her mother had likewise, after that, met a man, so it wasn't a secret relationship, but it was a man whom she truly felt loved her in a way that she felt she had never been loved. So unfortunately, as Debbie understood it, her mother's neediness overrode her ability to be present for Debbie. And even though Debbie's mother said she regretted that now, it was enough for Debbie to understand better what had actually happened. And as Debbie put it, you know, all this didn't make it right for her about what had happened to her as a child, but it did help her to understand why her mother made the choices she did and that it had less to do with Debbie's mother not loving her as much as it had to do with Debbie's mother's neediness for love. So it's so helpful to be able to look at our child point of view and to evaluate it. You know, were those perceptions at that time valid? Most likely. But what might have been going on with our mothers would be another way to look at things now. And this is a good time to ask yourself a few questions that I'm going to pose here. And it would be wonderful to journal about these questions, as I've had participants do in workshops that I teach. The first question would be, was there a challenge in life presented to you in regard to your relationship with your mother? You know, a particular challenge that was presented in the way that your mother mothered you. Or you could say, you know, what did it mean for my life that I had this mother? And a second question might be, who or what did I have to become because of this experience of having this mother? And I'll add, is it possible that you gained a tremendous life lesson or skill as a result of this particular woman's mothering? You see how important that would be. A third question, what have I developed in myself that I might not have developed had my experience been different? So you see how your experience has shaped exactly who you are and have become, your strengths, and even perhaps your strengths have been developed as a result of your challenges with that mother. So it is important to look at and understand the positive and negative aspects of having the mother we did on our own growth and development. And again, why do we need to do this? Well, remember what I mentioned in the beginning of the show is that in each of us, we contain positive and negative mother aspects in ourselves that create an inner mother. Or you could say each of us has an inner mother that takes care of us, so we need to see how she does or doesn't take care of us well and how she may be like or unlike that original mother. Again, each of us contains a mother within us. And when we come back from the break, it is time for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. When we come back, we're going to take a look more about this inner mother, again, mothering in general, and sons as well as daughters. I'm Cynthia Bischoff, Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM, NBC Sports Radio, Boston. Again, we'll be back for further tips on our mothers ourselves. In the second half of the show, feel free to call in the toll-free number, 866-338-9663. Thank you.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Join us every second Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for the Nurturing Intuitive Children with Dr. Nikki Show, where you'll discover holistic strategies and techniques that support intuitive and empathic children in our homes, in schools, and in healthcare. Through our panel of distinguished guests, you'll receive parenting tips, education strategies, and holistic health solutions that'll help you improve the lives of these magnificent children and help their inner light shine even more brightly on the planet. Our program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Tune in every first Sunday at 6 p.m. for maximum success, the Coach Brew Show. You'll learn success strategies to take your game to the next level from performance consultant John Brubaker. Maximum Success explores why winners win and teaches you the keys to peak performance. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 Radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Our topic this evening is our mothers, ourselves. You can call in during this part of the show. Our local number is 617-237-1234, or you can call toll-free, 866-338-9663. Now, before the break, we talked about an inner mother. It's helpful to describe our inner mother because this is the mother in you that takes care of you. You see, as much as we have an inner child who needs our attention and love, and so much has been written about the inner child, embracing your own child within and all of that, you know, this inner child is not going to return home fully to us to be healed if there's not a resourceful set of parents at home to welcome the child back. So again, we have both an inner mother and father, whether we're a man or woman. So how does your inner mother take care of you? And as I said before, likewise, not take care of you. How is she like and not like your actual mother? Are there rules or beliefs that she did get from your mother that affect who you are today? As women especially, many of us have a hunger that's deeply seated inside ourselves. We look for a full vision of what it means to be a woman and maybe even long for an internal mother who can love us unconditionally. And this longing may be for more than what a human woman can provide, and our longing may not be able to be met by just one image of a woman, but by many women that we've encountered in our lives in different ways. I understand we might have a caller. Is that correct? Okay. All right. We have a caller, Teresa. Go ahead, Teresa.
Yes. Hello, Dr. Cynthia. I'm Teresa. I am very moved by your message of Dr. Carl Jung about a mother living her life fully so that she's a model for her child. But what about the woman who's working full-time and feels she has less time with her children rather than to be at home with them? It just gets so confusing for me to understand the difference.
Yes, thanks, Teresa. I appreciate, you know, not only your comment, but your concern about understanding how to balance. That's what I'm hearing you say, like how to balance being an effective mother. You want to have a sense of yourself, but you don't want to be selfish. Because ultimately, as a mom, you do have to live a fulfilled life, but you also have to have balance in being present with your child.
Yes, I definitely agree with you.
Yeah, and it's true that a woman who has children only to hand them over to other people every day so she can go to work or run errands might not be sending the best message or image to those children and certainly not might not be parenting well. But what is important is that the time that you do spend with the child be quality and caring time.
Right, that's true.
Okay, so, and you see, there's a difference between quantity and quality of time spent with your child, because while selfishness, or let's say lack of attentiveness, is not the message you want to give your child, you can balance this by showing the child that you can do things you have to do, like work outside the home to earn a living, but also things you love, like exercising or reading or creating art, you know, that you have a sense of a fullness of self. And then hopefully the child can respect your choices and support your decisions and requests for time and not resent you for it. And the time you do have with your children, for example, if you are working like in the evening or on weekends, if you're a working mom, they can include quality talks and activities to help to attend to the child's needs. So we're really just looking for balance. And I think that's what, you know, Jung was saying, that you have a sense of a fulfilled life. And I hope that helps, Teresa.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your call. Thank you. So to go back where we were, let's see, we were talking about the inner mother. It's important to recognize how we project archetypal or godlike images of extreme onto our mothers and other people in our lives. Because if we try to make our mother all good or all bad and do not allow her to have human graces and shortcomings, then we basically shut ourselves off from the possibility of integrating our inner mother into ourselves. And I want to give you another idea of something I've noticed in life. Sometimes a person, you know, who will come to me for coaching or in a workshop will speak of intensely disliking their mother. And they, you know, will say things like, I'm going to be anything but what my mother was or is. Well, this woman, as an adult, may not be aware that she reflects an extreme also in doing this. It's almost like sometimes I feel like a person can become a rebellious adolescent whose mother, because of this daughter's resistance to being like her at all, and becoming the center of her own existence. I understand we have another caller, so if you'll go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Bischoff. I'm Donna, and I guess I'd like some help with my situation. What about a mother who's just too intrusive in your life? I feel like my mother tries to control my life in ways that aren't really healthy, like projecting her desires onto me. How should I live my life? I'm 45 years old, so what can I do about it?
Okay, well, thank you, Donna, for calling. And the first step is to recognize it, and you've certainly done that. You know, you can see that. And You see, sometimes we've gone through this behavior our whole lives, that is, you know, trying to be in relationship with a mother who's projecting her desires onto you and so on. And some people don't even recognize it at all, even though, as you pointed out, you've been through this now for 45 years.
Well, that's definitely true.
I know. So if a mother is too intrusive, you know, trying to control your life in ways that don't seem healthy and in ways that you don't want to be controlled by, then you just really have to speak up. I mean, there's no substitute for having a voice. Do you feel that you can do that?
Maybe. Can you tell me how?
Okay. One reason to speak up, let's go with that first, is that a mother is going to respond to her child more like an adult when a child who is an adult has her own adult voice. You know, you really have to say what your own needs are in the same way that your mother can express her needs to you. And what's difficult is that you have to be willing to upset your mother. Again, not purposely upset her by being angry or anything, but by just changing the rules as they exist. In other words, setting better boundaries. She may not like for you to change your typical response to her, but if it is a healthy response and you're doing it in a way that respects yourself and her, you can set a boundary that could help heal the relationship as it is. You know, there's said to be anger with an open heart and anger with a closed heart. And even though I'm not necessarily saying you have to be angry, I'm saying you have to speak up and set a firm sort of boundary for your mother to see you as an adult and not an extension of herself, because that's really critical. Does that make sense, Donna?
You know what? Yes, it really does. But I'm going to have to work on it. I'll tell you what, your show has been really eye-opening today, so thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Donna, for calling. You're very welcome. And again, thanks for calling. Okay, so let's see. We were talking about the godlike images, I think images of extreme before our call. So, and I had talked about the person that has the intense dislike of mother, but then ends up reflecting sort of a rebellious adolescent as an adult. So go back to, we've just got to evaluate, include, embrace, and ultimately heal our relationship to our mother, because it is a relationship affecting us so deeply, as the last caller, Donna in particular, had pointed out. Now, frequently in sessions, I ask people, what about your mother have you rejected, you know, not wanting to include it in yourself? And how can you include what this has given you? You know, not her behavior, but just how it has, it's almost like you want to rebaptize the wound of it into a gift, hold it from a more sacred viewpoint. You know, is there a sacred gift in that experience of having this mother? You see, once you've made some kind of peace with your mother's situation, let's say in the case of the last caller, Donna would get a voice. You know, she would have a, and not Donna, that you don't have a voice, but that she would have a firmer voice about who she is. She could speak up and say, this is okay and this is not. Next, you can then try seeing the whole mother experience from a larger viewpoint. What about the role of other women, as I mentioned earlier, in our lives, who besides our mother have contributed to our understanding of mother energy? It's so important to realize that other individuals besides our mothers have been strong mother influences in our lives, too. You know, each of us has had women who played the role of mother for us, grandmothers, teachers, sisters, mentors, cousins, aunts, and so on. These women have helped mother you and have shaped the vision of mother within you. So it helps to see the mother energy through a broader understanding than just, you know, the role of one woman. And from this broader perspective, you might see the mother herself as a woman who had her own struggles, again, more from the point of view of her being like a sister or an equal to you. And in this way, her ability to be a parent is seen as related to perhaps her cultural and environmental factors that she experienced. What about, you know, what was going on during that time frame in her life? Was she a child of the Depression, literally? And what about social and economic pressures that she might have had? What were the rules in her family of origin? So what were her own limitations? And then finally, how would this help to give you a broader picture of this person as a woman, you know, a sister, like we said before, who in her own life had her own sets of needs and own issues and own problems and all of that? Because really the strength of all of this, the strength of it all, is it'll give you an understanding. And it's the understanding that hopefully will allow you to be more empathic of your mother, seeing her as a limited adult instead of this godlike or ideal person. And again, you know, although what we said earlier about you may feel like you can't forgive her, because I have had clients say, well, I just cannot forgive my mother for a certain thing that might have happened, or there was something that was so unforgivable that I'm just not going to be able to do that. And how might you try to forgive her if you had a different understanding of her own set of limitations? That's really what we want to look at. So, you know, then I think, too, it would help you to work through your own deep feelings and empathy for yourself as well as for your mother. Now, we're going to take a break again. It's time for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM, NBC Sports Radio Boston. We will be back for further tips on our mothers ourselves. To call in during the remaining part of the show, the toll-free number, 866-338-9663. Thank you.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Are you ready to be who your soul wants you to be? Join Lynn McGonigal, the founder of the Lightworkers Healing Method, as she and her amazing guests show you how to move into a life of lasting joy. Miracles happen every second Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Hasn't your soul already waited long enough?
The Massachusetts Soldiers Legacy Fund, MSLF, was founded in 2004 with a simple goal: to provide educational assistance grants to the children of Massachusetts service members who were killed while deployed on operations enduring an Iraqi freedom. With its current resources, the MSLF guarantees a minimum of $40,000, $10,000 per annum, in educational funding to each child of a fallen service member whose home of record at the Department of Defense was Massachusetts. There's no selection process. If an individual is a child of a service member whose service is credited to Massachusetts and whom gave his or her life in Operation Enduring or Iraqi Freedom, that child qualifies for MSLF funds. We're proud to report that we're accomplishing our founding objective thanks to the support of individuals and organizations throughout the United States. To donate, go to mslfund.org.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Saturdays 2 to 3 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Saturday, 2 to 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
The Dream Vision 7 Radio Network presents Kids for Love. Join Deborah Beauvais and her young co-hosts and celebrate kids making a difference. We invite other kids to join in for spirited conversation filled with creative ideas and possibilities to start your own mission. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world by getting inspired to help others in need. Kids for Love Project, celebrating kids that empower others. Callers into the show are in a drawing. It's every first Saturday at 2 p.m.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner. You'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Join us every second and fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dream Vision 7 Radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Our topic is our mothers, ourselves. Now, before the break, we were talking about the strengths of understanding the situation that in our mother's, perhaps their economic and personal development situation, because it allows you to be more empathic and understanding of your mother, seeing her as a limited adult instead of this ideal person who, if only, you know, could have done it all. And again, though, you can't forgive her prematurely or do this before you've worked through your deepest feelings and have had empathy for yourself. But when you have worked on this, holding this new understanding can really take you out of any kind of a victim stance, because it's a very powerless place to be when you're in a victim stance. You know, as a group, mothers are held to very high expectations, not only mothers but fathers also, but especially mothers in our society. Whether it's conscious or unconscious, we often demand that they love perfectly, live selflessly, you know, don't make a mistake. And mothers are just women with the same needs, probably the same self-esteem issues, if you could think of it that way, as ourselves, the same weaknesses and strengths as everybody else. And if we can see that, you know, that would be important, because if we cannot see that, we would tend to lay on them this expectation that they have to be a super mom, you know, or that they have to displace their own needs so that the child's needs can be met. So one of the things would be this inner mother that I mentioned earlier. You can mother yourself in ways that enhance your self-esteem, especially as an adult, like boost your own confidence and heal your own pain. You can begin to treat yourself in a certain way by listening to and honoring your own voice. You know, find your voice and then listen to and honor it. By taking care of yourself, indulge yourself with new activities in which you find that you can grow and explore yourself differently. Begin to do for yourself all the things that your mother would have provided for you if she could have. I have a client in her late 70s who's taking voice lessons, and when I met her, she talked about having always wanted to do that, and I said, well, then you should, you know, and why not? It's never too late to be, as the saying goes, whom you might have been. But at any rate, what can happen if we don't really pay attention to meeting our own needs with our own inner mother is that as an adult, we can become dependent on a partner that we feel like has to meet our or fulfill our unmet child needs. And much of this dependency that partners may have on each other is really rooted in what would be called the needs of the unhealed child. So again, extremely important to know. Now, I had mentioned that I wanted to talk a little bit about the differences in mother-daughter and mother-son relationships, and I do want to share some insights I have learned about the differences. It's believed that there is an immense difference between the mother-son and mother-daughter experience. And I have quoted before another well-known Jungian analyst, and that is Dr. Helen Luke. She is deceased, and she wrote several just fantastic books, one being The Way of Woman. But at any rate, Dr. Helen Luke was quoted as saying, and I'm going to read a little quote that I took from one of her books, "There is an immense difference between the mother's son and the mother-daughter experience. On the archetypal level, the son carries for the mother the image of her inner quest, but the daughter is the extension of her very self, carrying her back into the past and her own youth and forward to the promise of her own rebirth into a new personality, into the awareness of the self." Again, that's Dr. Helen Luke, L-U-K-E, if you would want to Google that quote. So while we've discussed the daughter-mother relationship, you know, what is Dr. Luke saying by the son caring for the mother, the image of her own inner quest? Well, the idea is that the boy carries an image for the mother of her own quest in life. So this would mean perhaps a different type of projection by the mother on the son than the projection, of course, that she places on a daughter. And likewise, if you are a son, you know, it's believed that as a boy growing into adulthood, much of what you understood about women, you learned from your relationship to your mother. So a boy's early experiences then, it would make sense, are shaped with the most influential female in their lives, their mother, and this can set the stage for future relationships with women. So yes, we do want to look at, you know, what kind of mothering did an individual have. Mothers of sons particularly need to model a really healthy balance between motherhood and personal development. And this in turn will help boys who will grow up, of course, to hopefully to be fathers or husbands themselves or partners of these women. It would help these boys as adults to view motherhood and women in a more positive light. You see, our children learn from us. And we've talked about that earlier in regard to the time that we give and what our expectations were. And we know that they look to us for guidance all the time. So when we model balanced and healthy behaviors and lifestyles, we can help our sons or our daughters develop healthy images of mothers and, of course, of women. And if we create lives that really attend or address the depths of our souls, and hopefully this is the way we are creating our lives, we'll not only be living a life that better meets our needs, but living a life that teaches our children to respect living fully. Now, you know, a tremendous exercise that I have used in workshops, especially workshops about mother or father, but again, we're focusing on mother tonight, is to ask each person to write a letter to their mother, no matter whether the mother is alive or not. So I would ask you to write a letter telling her what you wish you could tell her as though she could hear and understand you fully. And then you would write a letter back from the mother to yourself as though you were your mother writing to you, telling you what you wish she would tell you or would have told you. Now, I tell participants when they write these letters not to edit them. You know, simply allow them to flow freely from their own consciousness. Whatever you feel like you need to say or wish you could have ever said, definitely do that. You know, not something. Don't continue not to find your voice, but rather allow it to help you to find your voice. This is so very healing, and this exercise again is so very healing. Another very helpful technique is to look at: are there any rules or ideas that your mother taught you as a woman or as a man that you consider to be positive and that have enhanced your life? You know, again, that this particular person, whom many metaphysicians say we chose before coming into this world, and if we chose this person, then she was the perfect mother for whatever it was we needed to learn. So are there rules that helped you in some way positively? And likewise, are there rules or ideas that your mother taught you that you consider to be negative or that have created problems for you? And you don't need for this inner mother to continue to keep you bound to those rules if they're not working, you know, if they're not working. So take a look, take a close look at this inner mother, the mother in you that takes care of you. Is she critical? Some of my clients have said, well, my inner mother's critical. And, you know, they didn't realize that until they had spent time. Actually, I told them, pay attention to your inner critic. What are the voices that you hear once in a while when you're in the average day? Just kind of focus. What did I just tell myself? You know, one person told me she felt her inner mother was very critical. Another said had high expectations. And another said, you know, that I had to be perfect and that I'm still making myself have to be perfect. So really pay attention to that, because that's a voice inside of you that can be changed. You don't have to continue to have the inner mother speaking in you in a way that's not helpful to you. Now, there are a few more tips about the mother relationship that I want to mention. One is, understand that your mother is a human, you know, imperfect, subject to the same difficulties that we all face in life. And just understanding that the mother is human will help you be more understanding of not only her shortcomings, but also of your own. That's what's really important. And secondly, make a genuine effort to figure out who your mom is or was as a woman. As I said before, if she's still alive, asking her questions, or certainly reflecting on what you believe was the situation. And you can think about the questions that we spoke of earlier, and if you can, you can ask your mother about her desires and her hopes about life. I mean, what are her desires and hopes now? This can contribute to very healthy bonding. And you might be surprised to find out things that you just did not know about your mother. Third, you can allow for forgiveness in your mother relationship. Forgiving her doesn't mean you have to condone or pretend that you weren't hurt by her behavior, or even feel neglected, that you might have been neglected or felt neglected. But instead, you see, when you forgive her, you free yourself of any negativity or resentment that you've been holding on to. Fourth, I would say be really honest, as I had mentioned to the caller earlier. You know, honest with your mother in a non-accusatory way, but in a way to establish a healthy boundary with your mother. You want to be a partner who wants to find a healthy solution to the relationship you're in with each other. And whether that's the relationship with your mother or if you've got unmet needs, you know, you want to, that you're somehow projecting onto a partner, you want to be careful about that. Now, and most importantly, though, see your mother as a human being, and the act of mothering as broader than belonging only to this woman that you're calling your mother. Because in this way, you can lose the sense that, again, one woman carried the whole responsibility of mothering you and gain a greater vision of yourself and your relationship to others in your life. Because really, all our relationships are sacred, and the mother relationship is one of our most sacred. Now, as we begin to close our show this evening, I want to begin by thanking you for tuning in. It was such a pleasure to spend this hour with you. I do want to tell you that our show in November is going to be called Our Fathers, Ourselves, because this is another area I've worked in, and I think it would be a wonderful balance to our show this evening, so you can look forward to that in November. In addition to our show and all of our wonderful Dream Visions archive shows, you can go to my YouTube Heart Living video channel, as well as my Heart Living Facebook page. And if you go to YouTube, again, it's Heart Living Video. That's the name of my channel. Heart Living is the name of the Facebook page. But please visit my website at heartliving.com. I have a number of new products coming. A series of ebooks will be out next week. Thank you so much. Promise yourself that you will practice heart living by living your life with passion and purpose. I look forward to our November program. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM, NBC Sports Radio, Boston. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Join us the first Sunday evening of every month at 7 p.m. to explore ways to live a more inspired and passionate life. Gain clarity, balance, and purpose as Cynthia guides you on an enlightening journey of personal transformation. For more information, find Cynthia at her website, heartliving.com.